Well, in the time we have left tonight, just about 15 minutes or so, I think I've realized as the day's gone on that there's no way I'm going to finish this tonight. So come back Sunday morning, and you'll hear the rest of it. So Emma knows me in school, right? When I get into Bible class, I was determined to finish Revelation. I had to skip a few chapters, but we got close. Anyway, Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, I've been reading through the book of Genesis, and I read through the Old Testament. I said, you know, I'm just going to go back and read Genesis again. I've always been intrigued by that book. I love the book of Genesis. There's so many important things that happen in that book, but especially when you get into the life of Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. And tonight I wanted to start a message that I'll more than likely finish on Sunday. And I want to add some more to it and go in a little bit different direction perhaps on Sunday morning as the Lord leads. But I wanted to start in chapter 28 because this is that famous chapter where Jacob was traveling. His mother had sent him away, you know, because he was scared to death about Esau. And Esau, he said, go to Padan Aram and, you know, find a wife. Don't go to the daughters of Canaan now. Go find a wife from, you know, our family, God's people, or so forth. And, of course, Esau, when he saw that the daughters of Canaan made his mother unhappy in verse number 8, what did he do? He went straight out and got a couple. So that's Esau for you. Anyway, Jacob's traveling and he comes down to that famous place that was called Luz, that he renamed Bethel. And he has that dream, the famous dream where the angels are going up and down the ladder. Maybe you had it talked about it in Sunday school when you were small or in elementary school or whatever. But we all know that famous story. And the Lord makes himself known to Jacob, probably maybe for one of the first times in Jacob's life. Think about the covenant that had been made known to Abraham. And then God had revealed himself several times to Abraham and discussed this covenant with Abraham. And then that was given to Isaac, but now God is making it clear that His covenant is going to extend not through Esau, but it's going to come through Jacob. And He is giving some specific details to Jacob. If you look at verse number 13, these angels of God are ascending and descending on the ladder, and behold, the Lord stood above that ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God is very clear to Jacob that wherever you go, whatever happens that you're going to go through, you're going to come back to this place. Very important, as we're going to develop this later. But He's going to keep him wherever you go, and I'm not going to leave you. Now, Jacob's going to do some things, and we're going to see in a few minutes, and he's going to do those things in the flesh. He's going to do things Jacob's way, but the entire time, who did not leave Jacob? God didn't. He said, I'm still going to be with you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of, until I make you this great nation, until your seed is multiplied, and until the nations of the earth are blessed in you. Verse number 16, Jacob awoke, of course, and said, the Lord's in this place, and I didn't know it, and he was fearful. Go to verse number 20. Jacob vowed a vow. I skipped a few verses. This is a familiar story. Verse number 20. He vowed a vow, saying, now it's easy to vow vows, isn't it? It's easy to promise things to God, you know, when something big happens or something exciting happens, or even when something tragic happens or something scary is going to happen. Well, we vow to God, don't we? We make our vows and we promise God we're going to do some things here. But notice what Jacob said. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now, what did God told Jacob he was going to do? He said, I'm going to bless your seed and expand your seed, and in you the nations of the earth are blessed. And what's Jacob worried about? Well, God, if you'll give me, I'll tell you what, let's make a deal here. Let's make a little deal. If you give me the bread that I need, and if you give me the raiment that I need, yeah, then I'll come again, and then shall the Lord be my God. I'll come back, you know, and if you take care of me, I'm going to put God on a testing period here. And if God fulfills what He's going to do and gives me the bread and the raiment, then I'll come back and then the Lord will be my God. Now, Jacob may have said that lightly. He may have meant it. He may have meant it and then forgot about it. But who did not forget about that? God did. He remembered what Jacob had said. Verse number 22, and the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth thereof. If God provides, then I will proclaim the Lord as my own God. He's thinking kind of with himself here. He's thinking kind of fleshly in this situation. Take care of me. Provide for me, and then I will acknowledge that the Lord is my God. But God is going to take, Jacob's going to say that, he's going to get up, he's going to wake up, he's going to build this little altar, and he's going to what? Continue on his way. Continue right back to what he was doing. I'm going to Padan Aram, and I'm going to find a wife down there. And it's just, I'm going to do this, I desire this, I want this, I'm going for it. And God just remembers the vow. And Jacob, no doubt, what God had promised him and made a covenant with him may be kind of getting foggy in Jacob's memory. But over the next several chapters, several things are going to happen that are going to be the lessons God wants Jacob to bring to get him out of that selfishness, to get him out of his fleshly working to get what he needed and get what he wanted. And God is going to teach him some serious things. Jacob needs to come to a point in his life where the flesh isn't an issue, where his desires weren't an issue, where God's desires were paramount. And I want us to look at several incidents, we'll start them tonight, in which Jacob thought he was actually maybe doing the work. He thought, well, I have all the answers, I know what I'm doing, I've got this figured out, I'm going to get the situation fixed. But the entire time, what was it? God was holding up his end of the bargain in Jacob's behalf. Yeah, Lord, you know, if you, you know, keep me in this way that I go, protect me, give me bread to eat, verse 20, give me raiment to put on, then, you know, I'll come back. And maybe Jacob went there and forgot all about that vow. After 14 years with Laban, it may have been the farthest thing from his mind. It may have been. But God took that seriously. And he's going to uphold what his word was. He's going to do what he promised he would do. Let's look at some of these decisions. First of all, in Genesis chapter 29, a very familiar passage here in verse number 15. We know that he went to Padan Aram and he, of course, was kind of probably had his eye looking out for some women or something. I don't know how that was going. But verse number 15, it's interesting. We don't ever hear the girl's perspective. You know, it's almost like Jacob's like, yeah, they're all going to come right to me like a magnet. You know, I get to take my pick here. I don't know. But we don't ever hear, maybe the girls were back there sticking their finger in their mouth or something. I don't know. Verse number 15, Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel, said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban said, it's better that I give it to thee than some other random person. Abide with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Jacob desires something. He wanted Rachel. He wanted to have her as his wife, and he didn't care what it took to get her. That is what I'm going to do, and I've got it worked out. I'm going to have this plan with Laban. I'm going to work for 7 years, and it's going to be all mine. Easy. See, I worked all that out. I worked it out on my own. By the way, I titled tonight's message, Lord, I Can Figure It Out. We are so many times just like Jacob. Well, Lord, I know what you promised. I know the vow that you made, but you know what? I'm going to take this. I'm going to figure this out. You want to make the seed great? Well, I'll go ahead and find the wife that I need. I'll go ahead and get what I want. I'm going to get it in the way that I want to do it. Of course, we know what happened. Oh, Laban, and we often heard it said, the trickster Jacob got out-tricked by a bigger deceiver. And then Jacob's going to work some other things, and it's just going to get a mess. And the Lord, the whole time, is trying to teach Jacob some things. Now, Laban probably knew. Here's Laban. He knows how bad that Jacob, or how much Jacob loves Rachel. He knows he wants her to be his wife so bad that he says, hey, I'm going to get 7 more years out of this poor loser. He didn't even know what hit him. So he put Leah, you know, maybe put the veil on or whatever, gave her to Jacob. Jacob went in that night, everything, and then he came out the next day and was like, that's not Rachel, that's Leah. And he was very angry. I tell you what, I can't imagine. I don't know. I can't imagine waking up and like, whoa, you're not the woman I married. Okay. But verse number 20, that would be shocking. Let's go to verse 25. It came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Here's a deceiver upset at somebody that deceived him. Boy, that is the flesh if you ever saw it, isn't it? How dare he deceive me? Not that I deceived Esau to get his birthright, and then me and Mom took care of Dad. You know, we tricked old Dad real good. I even put on goat hair. Boy, he felt me. He thought I was Esau. Man, we got him good. I'm a good deceiver. Man, Laban, what's your problem? Man, you're deceiving me. What in the world? You shouldn't do that to me. Angry when something's done to him exactly what he did to others. He was upset. And so Laban said, oh, it must not be done in our country. He's a little smooth talker. To give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week and we'll give thee this also for the service. So what did Jacob do? Worked another 7 years. We know the story. And he finally got what he wanted. He got the wife of Rachel. Now, this is no light decision that Jacob, he's giving up 14 years of his life in service, in slavery or whatever, working for Laban. 14 years just to get what he wanted. Nowhere in the decision do we read over what does God want? What did God think is best for Jacob? We don't read that he even prayed or to the God who had revealed himself at Bethel. Jacob is focused on the flesh. What do I want? Then rather than asking God for direction. And he allowed himself to get in this situation. Why? Because of the flesh. His desires. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 30. We have Jacob making decisions in the flesh. And now we have Rachel, his wife, that he worked 14 years for. And she's going to make a decision in the flesh. Now remember, God had already promised, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to do that. He had made the same promise, like he told Sarah, that you were going to have a son. And at Genesis chapter 14, and in thee thy seed, or Genesis chapter 28, sorry, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Thy seed's going to be as the dust of the earth. They're going to spread out everywhere. God had already told him, I'm going to supply you with sons. Now, here's the interesting thing. In chapter 29, verses 31 through 35, who was having all the sons? Leah. That's not what I want. Was that maybe what God wanted? It may have been. God had just promised, I'm going to give you sons, and God was fulfilling the promise, but Jacob, well, I've got Rachel, and Rachel was very upset, and she came to him, and she envied her sister, and she said, give me children or else I die. And it's all your fault. And Jacob was very angry with Rachel and said, am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld the fruit of thy womb? And he was upset at her, and she was upset at him, and he's, you know, is it God's fault? Whose fault is it? They didn't know. Well, Rachel now is going to act in the flesh. And she's going to do the same old custom that Sarah did with Abraham. And she gave him the handmaid, bearing upon the knees, symbolizing that this is actually Rachel's child. But throughout this entire chapter of chapter number 30, we read of Rachel and Leah, this struggle that they had with she's going to have sons. Then she has sons and back and forth. And then Leah says, well, yeah, well, you give him your handmaid. I'm going to give Jacob my handmaid. And we'll see who has more sons. And it's all the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. Just doing what I want to do. Fix this issue on myself. You can even look into verse number 14. This is an interesting passage here. Verse number 14. Reuben, who is the son of Leah, son of Leah, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Now, mandrakes are a special type of plant or flower that have a really nice aroma. They were a pretty little plant. Women, you know, it'd be like bringing roses home to your mom or something today, I guess. But Reuben found these mandrakes, and he said, oh, you know, like a little boy would do. You know, my boys sometimes pick out these little, tiny, ugly flowers, and some of them smell really bad, but they take them up to mommy. Mom, I picked you a flower. And yes, we'll put it on the table and make it all pretty. And yes, son, thank you. And it means special thing to mom, you know, that, hey, my son brought me some flowers. Well, here Reuben found these plants, and they were aromatic plants. They smelled good. Maybe they were, some people believe they were flowery type plants. And he brought them to Leah, and Rachel saw Leah's flowers or mandrakes, and she said, give me those mandrakes. She wanted some. Maybe Rachel just loved those flowers to death. Maybe she loved those kind of flowers, and she wanted some for her own. And what does Leah say? Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Wouldest thou also take away my son's mandrakes? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. They're making a deal. I'll tell you what, Leah. I'll let Jacob go into you tonight if you'll give me those flowers. And that's exactly what happened. Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah ran out to meet him and said, thou must come into me because I have hired you out. I gave up my flowers for you. So you've got to come in with me tonight. And he lay with her that night. Verse 17, she conceived, and Jacob bare the fifth son. This continual struggle back and forth of who's going to bear the sons? What is Jacob going to do? It's all acting in the flesh, manipulating to get what you desire, to get what you want. We don't read of the women waiting on the Lord. We see Rachel getting angry, upset. We just force our way, scheme and plan and manipulate to accomplish what we want. Now, another lesson quickly that's going to happen in Jacob's life is, we'll look at this one as we close, in chapter 30, is Jacob is going to work out another deal. Again, this is in the flesh. This is in the flesh. He had already told God, remember? God, if you provide for me the raiment and keep me and provide for me my bread, then I'll call you my God. Well, he must have forgotten that because he was going to work on his own to try to build his own little kingdom here. I'm going to build up my material possessions and I'm going to do it all on my own. I'm going to increase my cattle. And what Jacob did was he told Laban, hey, I'll take all these ring-straked and spotted and speckled goats that, you know, they're kind of ugly. Maybe they're kind of scrawny or something. I'll take all those. Don't worry. I'll take them off your hands. Laban's like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, Laban's all happy. I don't want them old junkers anyway. Get them out of here. So Jacob then had this plan that he really thought he was doing. He believed he could peel these wooden poles and lay them out at the feeding troughs. And the way that the cattle saw them, he thought he was influencing genetics. I'm not going to go through the whole story. He believed that, I don't know, maybe it was a custom of the land. Maybe it was a pagan superstition that he heard of. But he believed by setting these whitish-type poles out there that when the cows and the cattle and the goats came out and fed, they see that and it would influence their genetics. I don't know where he heard that from, but that's what he believed. And then secondly, he separated the flocks and he took the normal flocks and put them over here and he took all those ugly ones and faced them over here and he made the normal cows face the ringed straight and the spotted, and he thought he was manipulating the eyesight of those cattle so that they would genetically influence themselves that that's what they wanted to look like. Weird thinking here. Then thirdly, he also worked to where the stronger cows would be the speckled ones and the spotted ones. And he thought he was doing this on his own. I'm going to work this situation out to where I'm going to increase my cattle the way that I want. And it was all superstition. And he made this plan and he executed this plan and he thought he had done it. I did it. Look how big my flock is. Look at old Laban's now. Man, my flock is huge now. I have done this. Now, the funny thing was, however, that none of the things that Jacob did, they're old wives' tales, if you want to call them that. They didn't actually influence the genetics of the cattle, but he figured that he was the one that did it. How many times in our plans and in what we do, we go in and we work in the flesh and we get something done and we go right at it and then we, see, I did it. Oh, I accomplished the task. And we don't realize the whole time that it was God in control, not me. And God is going to teach Jacob this lesson. I want us to look in chapter 31. Here Laban comes and confronts him. And the Lord said unto Jacob, verse 3, return to the land of your fathers, to thy kingdom. Now, we don't hear about the Lord talking to Jacob anywhere in 29 and 30, as he's just going gung-ho in the flesh. Now there's a problem. Now Laban's upset, and Jacob says, return to the land of your fathers, to your kindred, and I will be with thee. So Jacob went and called his Rachel and Leah and his flock, and he said, I see your father's not happy with me. Verse number 7, he deceived me. Verse number 8, he's mad at me for the wages that I took honestly from him, quote, honestly. Verse number 9, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. But notice verse 10, it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spoke unto me and said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and gristled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. When Jacob calls his family, notice, he talks about God. Boy, that was weird. Here's this guy going in the flesh, and in verse number 5, he says, the God of my father hath been with me. Something happened to cause Jacob to realize that it wasn't him the whole time. And it was a dream that we're told about in chapter 31, verses 10 and 11. And what it was God was saying in verse 12, all the cows came to you and all the ring-straked were being abundant because I, God, directed that. The ones that were mating and having other calves and things were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. It wasn't because you laid out some weird superstitious wooden strips or something. It was because I, God, did that. Because I've seen what Laban did for you. I'm the God of Bethel. Remember, Jacob, the vow that you made? That where thou vowest a vow, verse 13, now arise and get thee from this land. Here's the point. Jacob had been working and working and working his way. But the entire time, God was still in control. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And even when we forget about it, even when we're so focused on ourselves, God is still going to fulfill His plan. Jacob, it wasn't you that did all this with your little superstitious ideas. It was me. I'm the one who caused the herd to breed a certain way in your favor. And Jacob now is beginning to realize God was with me the whole time and I didn't even realize it. And now he's going to make steps to move back to Bethel. And we're going to pick up there on Sunday morning. I went over my time a little bit. I apologize for that. But we'll bring these things kind of down to a conclusion. But I tell you, in the flesh, so many times we think we're doing what we got to do. We've got it all worked out. We're running the situation. We've got it under control. And the whole time, it was God. And sometimes He has to come down and shake us a little bit and say, I'm in control. I worked this out for your favor. I know what's going on. It wasn't you. It was the God that remembered the promise that you made, that remembered the vow that you made at Bethel. We'll pick up there on Sunday morning. Father, thank you for your love to us and for this passage tonight. There's so much to learn from the life of Jacob because, Father, we're similar to Jacob. Lord, we fight with the flesh. We fight with the desires that we have. We want to be in control and do things our way. And Father, I pray that we would be ready to hear and listen to what you want us to do and to do things the way that the Father would have. Lord, I just pray that you bless our time here tonight. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord, and may we continue to remember throughout the week the requests that are upon our hearts, that you would answer them according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you tonight.